This is the History Worth Saving podcast. Subscribe, like, and share your story ideas at historyworthsaving.com. And while you're there, you can also pick up a copy of my new book, Tales from High Bluff, Stories My Grandfather Would Like, just by visiting historyworthsaving.com. And a special thank you to our friends at The Conversion Mill for making this episode possible. The Conversion Mill turns your existing website visitors into paying customers. Find more at theconversionmill.com. That's theconversionmill.com. This is the History Worth Saving podcast. Today, we go to Corpus Christi, Texas, not far from my hometown of Portland, and we talk about a theater, an old movie palace, if you will, a theater that has captured my imagination since I was a kid. When you drive by the Ritz Theater in Corpus Christi, you can't help but look at it and not see it how she is. I mean, she's a grand old lady in tattered rags. I love that description of it. But the old theater inside is truly something worth talking about, and it's something worth saving. And today, a lady who is working incredibly hard to do just that, to save the Ritz Theater and return it to its former glory, is Monica Sawyer, and she's joining us right now. Monica, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk to you about the Ritz, one of my biggest passions.
Well, I love it. Tell me, how did you fall in love with the Ritz Theater?
Well, it happened around 2003, and my husband and I had moved to Corpus Christi, Texas to be with my husband, and I'm a graphic designer. I've been involved in the creative industry for a long time, and we were actually going to leave. I wasn't too excited about Corpus, but I felt like there was something missing that I had. There was something I needed to do. I just had this really overwhelming feeling, and so I got on my bicycle with my little black and white camera and went around town just taking pictures, and I came upon the theater, the Ritz Theater. I didn't know it was a theater, and the door was open on the side by mistake, and I'm fascinated with old buildings. I studied architecture for a minute in college, and so I went inside and thought, well, this probably isn't too smart. So I called my husband and said, please bring some flashlights, let's go explore. And we went inside the theater, and I gave a talk one time and said it was like discovering the Titanic. The seats, it was still, you know, red plush velvet seats. There were props on stage, costumes on hangers, all the filing cabinets were full of receipts and stuff, and it was like someone had locked the door and walked away, and I was just blown away by this place. It was so gorgeous. It's an atmospheric theater, so it looks like it's supposed to be a Spanish courtyard inside, so very different from a regular old building, and I just was fascinated, so I started asking around about it, and turns out TRT Development, who also owns the Omni chain, they had said publicly that they would give the building to anybody who's willing to restore it. And so I was playing frisbee golf with a good friend of mine, Kara Edge, one day, and I said, hey, you don't know anybody that knows anything about theaters, do you? And she started laughing, and I said, why, what's so funny? She said, well, my dad's been restoring theaters his whole life. And so I took her dad, Dr. Clifford Edge, out to pizza, and the three of us talked to him about the Ritz, and he knew all about it. He had done some reports on it for the Historical Commission, and he pretty much convinced us over pizza that we needed to start a nonprofit and restore this theater, even though we had absolutely no experience. And so that started it all, and turns out there was a building assessment study that had been done. Barbara Canales, who's our Nueces County judge, she was involved back in 1991 and had tried to get something going. Along with Carol Scott, who's the wife of an ex-city council member, and nothing had gotten going. And so we just started trying to figure it out and put a business plan together and, went through a lot of struggles. But every year we keep doing it, keep chugging along one foot in front of the other, and have managed to save this beautiful theater.
And now, fast forward a little while, the building is yours. You have recently raised enough money that you think you can put a new roof on it. And really, nothing can happen until the roof is in place. Am I wrong in that understanding?
No, you're absolutely right. And it's something that we've been trying to do for years. This project is definitely a passion project. It's a side project for everyone. We have had no paid staff. It's just been something we all do kind of in our spare time. And that's probably why it's taken so long. And then, you know, for a long time, we didn't have ownership of the theater. We couldn't get anybody to donate money to us because Bob Rolling, who owned TRT, who owned the theater, was at the time the 13th richest man in the country. And so we couldn't get anybody to donate to us. And so it took a big chunk of our history just to get the theater donated to us. And then once we finally did, that's when we started getting small donations and kind of had to come back from the organization almost being shut down. And so we've gone through some major struggles, and top of the list through all these years has been the roof. So to get money from the city and county and through this TERS program, and actually today is the day that they're going to start working on the roof. It's a major milestone and really needed to happen before anything else could happen.
So you walk into this theater, and when was that? When was your first discovery? Let's get the timeline set, because I want people to understand that sometimes you can be a 30-year overnight success. And that's the vast majority of experiences that people have when they're doing something like this. When was that first experience with the Ritz?
It was in late 2003 was when I first discovered it. We didn't actually start the nonprofit until our board, we got a board together in 2006. So technically the nonprofit started in 2005, but it was really 2006 before we got organized. And then we got the building donated to us 2 days before Christmas in 2010. But by that point, everything had pretty much disintegrated. So and I had just had a baby. So I was ready to offload this thing. And then I got a call on my drive up to Tulsa to visit my husband's family, and they said, we're transferring title to you. And I said, wow. Oh, great. So then we had to regroup and start over. And in 2012, we got on Texas's Most Endangered Places list, which was pretty big, and got a proclamation from the state. And so that was pretty big. And then, we've had been trying some major things and getting a lot of no's, getting turned down a lot, and had tried to get money from the city at several major points. And then it wasn't until last year that we got accepted to get on this TERS program, which is a tax increment redevelopment zone grant. And so we were applying for $300,000, but they approved us for $100,000, taking a chance on this theater. And that's the first major money we've been able to receive. And that was a match. We had to raise $100,000 to get the $100,000 from the city. So now we've got about $200,000 to work with to dig into this roof and make that happen and start on some plumbing and just some major functionality of the theater.
Why is this important? I mean, why do these old theaters matter?
Well, this one in particular is one of the last remaining historic buildings in downtown. The other one a lot of people know about is the county courthouse, or the federal courthouse, sorry. And that's in really bad shape. That would probably take, I don't know, some people have said $35 million, $50 million and up. It's in really bad shape. So this is the most viable, as far as restoration goes, historic building. But you know, when we first got involved, we got together with the League of Historic American Theaters, which is a group that brings together everybody that's involved in historic theater restoration and historic theater running of historic theaters, making them profitable. And really to find out, is this something that is worthwhile? And what we discovered is a restored historic theater that's functional can bring in major economic impact for the city, major dollars for the city. And Corpus Christi is struggling. You know, we, like all cities, were experiencing some financial strain. And so as we were looking at this theater, it's like, well, how can this be an income generator for the city? And so we've got some major ideas for that. One being a show that we broadcast to the nation, you know, putting content out to the rest of the country, so where we could attract people to Corpus Christi and be part of this live taping, be a part of what's going on at the Ritz. So
that really got me excited when you said that. I've been thinking about it, because what an incredible place. I mean, these theaters that are designed this way, where you walk in and it is, I love the term that you used, but when you walk in, it is an experience, right? Because you feel like you're almost outside. You're in this Spanish courtyard, and you can just see it with the sort of the sunset roof being lit with the blue lights, or however they used to do that. And it would be a magical place. I mean, a real window into a world that that you just don't see. In South Texas, there's nothing like it down there. So being up in Atlanta, when you go to the Fox or any of these other historic, you know, buildings, I think there's one in El Paso that comes to mind that sort of looks similar to what the Ritz would have looked like. But to have a taping and a show that is uniquely Corpus Christi, I think it'd be fantastic. I think you have a real winner on your hand there. We just got to get this thing over the edge and get it restored.
Yeah, and we mean for the Ritz to be a creative hub for the city, to really stimulate that creative class. We've got a thriving underground art scene here. I mean, you wouldn't believe the talent that's coming out of here. We have a Latin Grammy-nominated artist here that's right across the street from me, is producing some great things. And both in fine art, dance, music, even our comedy scene is really great. And so a lot of people don't know about it because they don't get highlighted. And so the Ritz, one of the things that we've got in our plan is an artist nurturing program, so that our nonprofit essentially becomes a granting organization where we support these creative people. If they can prove that they're willing to stay local, then, you know, we'll help them with marketing and design, you know, for getting the word out about their concerts or whatever's happening, and really be a support system for the creative class here, so that we can grow that and keep people in Corpus Christi to where they're like, well, Corpus Christi is where it's at. This is, you know, enriching my creative life and, you know, has the support that we need. Because that was something that was lacking when I first moved here. I felt a complete lack of creative support as a creative professional. And so to be able to do that for people through our programming, and then all the while, you know, attracting people to Corpus Christi through other programs.
Well, it's a beautiful place. And one of my favorite places, Dr. Rocket's right there beside it. I mean, what a that whole town is just, it's as if it's waiting to be discovered continuously. So I hope the Ritz, once its doors reopen, I hope it really turns the tide, so to speak, for downtown. Let's talk about some of the history, because this thing got started back in the 1920s, and it's just been going and going and going. And then in the 80s, really the 80s, I think. I remember a few rock concerts there in the 90s, but really, you know, in the 80s was sort of the downfall. But talk about the heyday of the Ritz just a little bit. Paint that picture for us.
Well, when it opened on Christmas Day, 1929. And so it opened as one of the finest theaters in the state. It was a really, really big deal. And there were all kinds of movie premieres. It was a movie, you know, movie palace. And it was really fancy. You couldn't eat inside of the theater. You know, it was a place where you went to really go and have a very different experience. And then they went through and entertained a lot of military personnel over the years. But then people really remember the Ritz in the 70s and 80s when it was the Ritz Music Hall. And, you know, that to me, that was the heyday, because that was when it was probably the most thriving that current residents remember. You know, we have people coming in and talking all the time about concerts that they went to when it was the Ritz Music Hall. And some really big name artists really got their start there, like B.B. King and Charlie Daniels, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Bob Dylan, Willie Nelson. And then it transitioned to more of a heavy metal place, AC/DC, Metallica, Rush, some of those types of bands came. and played. And so you got, you know, you saw kind of this whole transition of what was happening with music in America. You know, that was also happening right here in Corpus Christi and the Ritz. And a lot of these big name artists, you know, got their start playing around here.
What's left? I mean, what do we have to work with down there?
For the building, the building's actually in pretty good shape. We've had some restoration professionals come, and as theater restorations go, we're looking at a pretty low budget one at $12 million, $12 to $15 million. Usually big theaters like ours, are the Ritz seats about 1,000 people, and those types of renovations can run $20 to $30 million. So, you know, we're actually in pretty good shape as far as that goes. And then the rest of downtown is really rising up around the Ritz. So that's, I think, why we're seeing movement now with the money that we've gotten for the roof. Was one of the reasons is right across the street, the Lomaxes, Leslie and Ben Lomax, took our old Greyhound bus station and restored it into a really beautiful bar and outdoor space. And so now we've got a lot of people that go over there, and they're, you know, they're a lot of the movers and shakers around town, the young professionals, and they're sitting, having a drink, staring at the Ritz all day and all night. And so that's when we really started seeing some movement, was when people started going to bus this bar and seeing what was across the street. Why isn't that restored? What's happening? What is it? And starting to talk to our council members, like, what's happening with the Ritz? And so it wasn't just coming from us, it was coming from other people and kind of unsolicited. So that was really great. And we've got some mural artists that have really just descended onto Corpus Christi and are helping making downtown more beautiful. So a lot of visible change is happening right now, and that's really good for the Ritz's mission and, you know, our, you know, trying to get people involved and to care about it. You know, to us, it blows our mind that people can't see how the Ritz can really change the face of downtown and can change, you know, everything that's happening here. But, you know, it takes some convincing.
I'm surprised. I really am. I mean, because the town that that saw the rise of Selena and so many, I mean, Freddie Fender, all of these people that are from there, you would just think that this is worth doing. I mean, I see it. I know you see it, and a lot of other folks do. But there needs to be some horsepower behind this financially. You know, in Monica, in these projects that I have followed over the years, the big money is the easy money, but it's the, you know, it's the day-to-day once the place is restored that really becomes arduous. And the show idea of a national broadcast, something that really highlights it, I'm guessing that's part of the business plan, because there's a lot that has to happen to make a theater really, really run. And you had some other ideas too, maybe even movies again. Talk to me about that, because that's a major investment to get a projector and everything else back in there.
Well, it's got a lot cheaper now with digital film. And so one of the things that we've been doing is talking with partners around town, or potential partners, one being KDT, our local public broadcasting system. And we pitched to them about them being our partner and coming and kind of taking over the projection booth, and that being a KDT booth, and that they help us with this broadcast show as well. And so I think that's going to really help the cause, is getting partners like that involved to take ownership in the theater. And then with, you know, just the different programming that helps educationally, you know, our youth and people trying to make a name for themselves, trying to build a business, you know, people are really into education. So we think that the theater, even right now, we've brought some kids in to kind of, you know, be mentor, I guess, and watch what's going on. We had Del Mar, they turned their drafting class into a redraw the Ritz class for 2 years, and came in and measured the Ritz and got us architectural plans, which we didn't have to pay for then.
Wow.
So, you know, we're looking at ways that we can really integrate with the community and do things to where our program, our nonprofit, and all the things that we do within the Ritz are vital to the city and to the community. And and engaging in different ways that people care about it a lot. And if it went away, it would be terrible, you know? And so that's what we're looking at, is how can we get more and more people to care about what goes on in there?
So you walk in there back in the early 2000s and you have your flashlights and you're looking around. The day that you went back though, when it was, I guess, okay, if you went back, you could kind of let your guard down maybe a little bit. What did you find that has surprised you the most, has really been that memory of discovery for you? What have you found?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind was, I'm sure it was a prop, but it was really freaky, was a dentist chair. And there is this storage room. It was like a maintenance closet type of room that you have to go down some stairs, and it's very dark in there. And, you know, I opened this door. I'm, of course, just walking around with my husband and I. He's off somewhere, so I was probably alone. And I opened this door, and it looked like a torture chamber down this dark, dusty hallway into this maintenance room. And there's, you know, like wires and all this stuff, and then a dentist chair. It looked like, you know, some bad things happened.
Yeah, a little creepy, huh?
That was pretty creepy. So we figured out it was probably a prop. I think they probably did Little Shop of Horrors or something there at some point. So that really freaked me out. Also, the theater had gone through some changes over the years, and it was probably around the 50s or 60s. They changed some of the structure. And so if you go back behind the stage into this machine room area, there's a door where you can actually crawl into the air handler. And it was this giant air handler. And, you know, that'll be ripped out. We don't need all that today. But if you crawl in there, there's a secret hallway back there that actually leads down some other stairs and back around and dumps you underneath the stage. And so you can, if you go back there, there's all kinds of, you know, graffiti and writing from when people snuck in there. But it's, you can see the original structure and original path of, you know, where a hallway might have been. And that's all been covered up because they had installed this huge air handler. So it was kind of like, you know, discovering this lost little city underneath the stage. And that was really interesting.
Theaters are just magical places by themselves. And then when you find something like that, it really becomes remarkable. You know, do you ever stop and think about all of the experiences that have gone on there? I mean, every seat holds a unique story when you're at an event or a movie, a first run movie, maybe Gone with the Wind. I mean, whatever it was that happened there, that's a whole bank, if you will, of experiences. And I'm looking forward to hearing in the future some new ones. What do you hope happens first for this huge project? We have the roof. What's next?
Well, now we're really looking to launch a capital campaign because, you know, we're securing the building now and we need a little bit more money to do that. But then we need to really look at the big picture. And we have some people kind of waiting in the wings that we want to hire. And these are theater restoration professionals because, you know, we don't presume to think that we know it all. And so we want to bring in the professionals that know how to do it and have been through it and can help us keep us from making mistakes. And so that's going to take some big money to get the whole team in. So that's really what I'm looking for next, is to build the team to make this happen. And we're slowly doing that with our board. We've got some great new board members, and we're going to be doing bringing in some more board members after the first of the year, and then launching a capital campaign so that we can really pull the trigger on the full restoration. We want to do a restoration back to what it looked like in 1929 when it first opened. So full historic.
That's going to be incredible. I want to come. I can't wait to see it when it's when it's finally finished. What is the completion time? I know everybody asks that question to you, and I'm sure a lot of it is dependent on money. But what do you really see as a viable timeline for getting this done?
Well, I think we are on our way. I mean, we've pulled the trigger in a sense with the roof, and so that's a move we've been trying to make for years. So to me, I'm hoping that was the tipping point. And the actual restoration doesn't take that long if we can do it all compact and in one fell swoop, and it probably take between a year and 18 months. And so that's once we have most of the money. And so the money raising, I expect to take another couple years, and then, you know, we can start the restoration after that. So I'm hoping that we can, you know, get open in less than 5 years is the goal. That would be great.
Well, you know, it just takes one Exxon or somebody like that to come down there and realize the potential that this can deliver. You know, with so much being talked about right now with STEM, so science, technology, engineering, and math, and they're adding that A in there right now with the arts, it makes you wonder, you know, you've already sort of alluded to this, that there are folks involved in, well, the redesign, draw the Ritz from Del Mar and at other universities down there that are colleges. There are a lot of things that have to go into the theater, from physics lessons to lighting to sound design to electrical engineering. There's so many things. You really do. You have your own little STEM project down there for the next few years, and I think it's great that you're involving those types of folks, because often they get left out of the arts, right? I mean, it's a two-way street. You can have too much art and you can have not enough science, but for a lot of the folks that are in science, there's never any art. I mean, there's not a lot of art. So I think it's great that you're involving them. Talk to us about ways that you can get involved. If someone hears this, maybe they're not in Texas, outside of sending a check, what else can they do? Do you have a regular work party down there? Is there a way to get involved with the Ritz?
Yes, so we have monthly meetings, so you're welcome to attend or even just call in and listen in. And you can find out how to get a hold of us at ccritz.com and, you know, contact me. I'm usually the person that answers those emails and phone calls. And then also we have a big fundraiser that we do every year. We completed our second year on Que Bueno Taco Fest. And that came up actually from Dusty Oliveira, who is the Latin Grammy nominated artist I was talking about, of how, you know, what can we do for the Ritz that would be our signature event every year, and but be different than the normal ball where there's a silent auction and some chicken and, you know, that kind of thing. And he mentioned tacos, and we're like, okay, well, how does that fit in with the Ritz? And he's like, everybody, tacos are trending right now, and you can attach tacos to anything. And so we started thinking about it, and it's like, you know, this theater is about bringing people together, and tacos bring people together. And so we launched Que Bueno Taco Fest, but the idea behind Que Bueno is actually to make it more than a taco fest. So the Que Bueno brand is what we're going to be developing. The Taco Fest was kind of the launching point for that. And, you know, it's a foodie festival. We've got gourmet tacos, and we have a taco competition. But then we had a taco song contest and a taco poetry slam, and we have a Chihuahua beauty contest. And then there's a fine art contest that goes along with it for children right now, and we're expanding that to adults. And so any way we can, you know, do some creative things with tacos as a theme. But then really the way that's going to expand is through the Que Bueno brand, and that stands for what's good. And we'll be doing a film festival and an art show and some more creative projects around the Que Bueno brand. So that's going to be our big event that we do every year. Right now it's in September, probably stay around the second weekend in September. And so that's a really great way for people to get involved, is just to be a part of Que Bueno. And that directly impacts the theater, and it's fun, and it's something we can do all year that's not dependent on actually getting in the building. And so that's the immediate thing. Also helping us plan our artist nurturing program. We're working with a bunch of folks in Austin right now on the artist nurturing program, and also on that broadcast show I was talking about. We've met with the owners of Austin City Limits and talked to them about, you know, what makes Austin City Limits work. And the recommendation to us was focus on local, because we were originally thinking, oh, we'll bring back everybody that had played in the Ritz and they can be guest stars, and then we'll have people play their music or something like that. And the recommendation was, no, that's a lot of red tape. Focus on what makes you guys special. Focus on your local community, your local musicians, your local artists.
I like it.
And so that's what we're doing. Yeah.
Sending out the local message. That's what it's all about, bringing people together. And the Ritz is doing that. If you want to find out more about the Ritz Theater, way down there in Corpus Christi, it's ccritz.com. We'll quick link it in the show. Monica, I love what you're doing. Thank you for
thank you for
coming on here. And, you know, thanks for stepping up, right? I love it. You're out there walking around. You got your, you know, your bike. You're thinking about leaving. And then all of a sudden, oh, my goodness, what is this? Man, we've all had those moments. And when those happen, you just have to harness it and run with it. And you've done just that. Thanks for coming on and sharing about us. Will you come back and keep us up to date
anytime.
On how the Ritz...
I can talk about the Ritz all day long.
It's history worth saving. I love it. Thanks, Monica, for coming on today.
Thank you, Matt.
Listen, folks, if there's something in your hometown that has captured your imagination, what's holding you back? Be like Monica. Get out there and see what you can do, because odds are there's a community of people that want to be involved with it, just like you. So take this as that sign from on high, if you will, to make it happen. ccritz.com. If you have not already gone to their website, do so, because there are some really cool pictures on there of the Ritz, the way it was back in the 20s, and the way they want it to be. Check it out. Also, if you're not a member of our Facebook group, please consider joining it. It's just History Worth Saving right there on Facebook. Check the book out. It's online. It's ready to be in your hands. Tales from High Bluff, Stories My Grandfather Would Like. It's my new book. I'd love to have it in your hands. Send me an email or just buy it on the website or wherever books are sold. Thanks for sticking with us today. And listen, get out there and meet your neighbors and make good things happen in your hometown. Until next time, I'm Matt Jolly, and this is History Worth Saving.